Everybody, please stand for the flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mayor. Board of Commissioners, public meeting Tuesday, October 16, 2018. The time is now 7:49. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, notice of this meeting was published in December 14, 2017 issues of the Nutley Sun, the Herald News, and the Star Ledger. A copy of this notice has been posted on the Nutley Town Hall Bulletin Board, and a copy is on file in the Municipal Clerk's Office. Commissioner Rogers.
Here.
Commissioner Tucci.
Here.
Commissioner Evans?
Here.
Commissioner Petracco? Mayor Scarpelli?
Here.
All present, Mayor.
Communications.
Good Shepherd Academy has submitted a letter requesting permission to hold an on-premise merchandise raffle on Sunday, November 18, 2018 at 2 p.m. at their address on 24 Brookline Avenue in Nutley. Any motion?
Second.
Commissioner Rogers?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
And that's it for communications, Mayor.
It's my distinct pleasure on behalf of the Board of Commissioners to congratulate Mr. Barry Kazira, who's in our audience tonight, on becoming the 2018 Essex County Lawyer of the Year. And we're going to read a proclamation on his behalf, and we'll take some comments from the commissioners, and then we'll take a picture. Whereas Barry A. Kazira, Esquire, was born on April 18, 1953, and is a longtime resident of the township of Nutley. And whereas Barry A. Kazira is a graduate of South River High School in South River, New Jersey, the University of Chicago, BA with honors in the College and in American History, 1975, and Rutgers Law School, NORC, JD, 1978. And whereas Mr. Kazira is married to Cheryl Peduto Kazira and have raised two successful daughters, Jillian and Alexandra. And whereas Barry A. Kazira is a founding member in the law firm of Kazira and Hartz and is admitted to the bars in New Jersey, New York, Eastern District of New York, Southern District of New York, the Second, Third, and Ninth Circuit Courts of Appeal, and the United States Supreme Court. And whereas Mr. Kazira is a member of the Bar Association, the New Jersey State Bar Association, and the Essex County Bar Association, chairman of the criminal law section from 1988 to 1989. And whereas Mr. Kazira previously served as a member of the Township of Nutley Planning Board and currently serves as the attorney for the Township of Nutley Planning Board, is a mediator for the New Jersey State Chancery and Law Divisions of the Superior Court, discovery master, statutory receiver, and special fiscal agent of the New Jersey State Superior Court Chancery Division, federal arbitrator, United States District Court of New Jersey, federal mediator, United States District Court of New Jersey, panelist in the Essex County Family and Chancery Early Settlement Programs, an Essex County Contract Arbitrator, and an Essex County Condemnation Commissioner. And whereas Mr. Kazira also serves as a trustee on the Board of Trustees of the Legal Services Corporation of New Jersey, former chairman of the St. Clair Church Finance Committee, president and founder of the Philomena Coppola Memorial Scholarship Fund, and former chancellor of the Nutley Historical Society. And whereas Mr. Kazira was named as the 2005 and 2006 Super Lawyer in the Super Lawyer magazine, and in 2012 New Jersey top-rated lawyers for administrative law, civil, trusts, and estates. And whereas Mr. Kazira is a recipient of the New Jersey State Bar Association Service to the Bar Award, the Essex County Bar Association's General Practice Achievement Award, the 2018 Elk Citizen of the Year Award, and the 2018 Essex County Bar Association Professional Lawyer of the Year Award for his exemplary conduct, competence, diligence, demeanor, and for setting a positive example for others. Whereas it is with great pleasure that the Township of Nutley pay tributes to the overwhelming accomplishments of Mr. Barry A. Kazira and for his steadfast resolve to succeed in life. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Mayor and the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, and that the Township commend Barry Kazira for his distinguished contributions and accomplishments, and be it further resolved that the Township of Nutley extends sincere congratulations to Barry A. Kazira for being selected to receive the 2018 Elk Citizen of the Year Award and the 2018 Professional Lawyer of the Year Award. Mr. Kazira, congratulations. As our longtime planning board attorney, we appreciate the hard work you put in on behalf of the Township of Nutley. It's a lot of work and effort, and we don't always get compensated the way we should for all that hard work and effort, but I'm sure it's a labor of love. Commissioners? Mr. Evans?
Barry, you know, I thought about this once I heard about it, and my first reaction was a very heartfelt, hearty congratulations. I can't think of many people that you never hear about getting any recognition, but who deserve to get much more than they actually get. Your thoughtfulness, your caringness, caring to the town, your devotion, as well as the legal prowess that you bring to the table, is very much appreciated, and I know by me, and I'm sure the board has always been well recognized. Thank you.
Commissioner Tucci?
Yes. Barry, this is a tremendous honor, and it's very well deserved, not only for what you do for us here in Nutley, but what you do throughout the county, throughout the state, and everything else that you get involved in. I'm really at a loss for words to tell you how honored I am to be part of this, all right, and giving you this proclamation, because it's not often that we hear very nice things about attorneys. So having you recognized like this, and having you as one of our own, is something that I personally will never forget. Congratulations.
Mr. Petrocco.
Thank you. You know, Barry, the one thing I always admire about yourself and anybody, when you start from humble beginnings and to wind up in the seat that you're in and the award that you're receiving is, you know, to me means everything. You know, when you're born on third base and you get there, so to speak, not the same as when, you know, you're swinging from home plate. Just to mirror Morrow's words a little bit, you know, my respect for attorneys have definitely grown the last couple of years now that my son is in law school. So all I could say is I sure hope that you paid your parents back for all your student loans, and I hope to receive some of my money back from my son. We'll see how that goes. But all kidding around, Barry, you know, as the mayor, I worked with you on the planning board, a true professional all the time, and, you know, our relationship, you know, I really thank you for always supporting me as well. So congratulations again.
Mr. Rogers.
Barry, well deserved, and I congratulate you and your lovely wife who's sitting there who's been on this journey with you. I know full well that it is a very difficult task that you have accomplished, and you couldn't do it without your wife. And in addition to that, just reiterating what my colleague said, I know you work hard. I know you work long hours. I've gotten some of your emails on Saturdays, Sundays, night and day. You're a truly dedicated servant. I thank you so much, and I wish you God's blessings.
Mr. Gazira, will you take a picture with us?
Sure. Charles, come on up. They never want to give me the mic, that's for sure. Anyway, I want to thank the mayor and the commissioners for this great honor. It is to me. As my wife knows, wouldn't be here without family support, that's for sure. I was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday, who heard about this award, and he said, it's funny you get an award for being professional of the year. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? The lawyer, that's what you're supposed to do. And he said, it's kind of sad that you're getting an award for being what you're supposed to be. And he said, it says something about the other folks out there. But those of you who know me know I work hard. My word is my bond. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I try to do it. I send you one of those emails 24/7 saying I'm not going to be able to do it. I do fight hard. I'm opinionated, as we all know. I have to say, not with my adopted community. And my girls, who are wonderful kids and have been supportive of me all along. So I do thank you for this award. And for those of you who need more of me, I'll be here tomorrow night for the planning board meeting, and Thursday night for another planning board meeting. So you're welcome to come and see me in action on behalf of the town. But thank you very much. This is a great honor for me.
Congratulations, Mr. Kazir. Let's go to reports. Mr. Petracco.
Yes, we have our Department of Public Safety report this month.
Mr. Evans.
Yes, code enforcement reports for the month of September and for the third quarter 2018.
At this point, I'm going to bring up Mr. Inglesino to give us an update on COA and the redevelopment at the former Roche site.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Board of Commissioners, and the public as well. I apologize for my back. The progress on the former Roche, now prison redevelopment site, and Nutley's affordable housing settlement are linked. The mayor first asked me to provide an update on the progress of the redevelopment of the Roche site, and then to discuss the affordable housing settlement. Roche announced that it was going to close down back in, I think, 2013 at some time. We were hired shortly thereafter to serve as redevelopment counsel, and the commissioners at that point were presented with an enormous challenge. And the challenge was, you know, how to reconstitute this site so that it could make Nutley a better town. The underlying zoning on that site was industrial, so you could have had a large industrial site on that project. A large affordable housing obligation for Nutley was looming in the distance, so you could have had an enormous multifamily housing project on that site and God knows what else. But the commissioners decided that Nutley's future in large part was inextricably linked to the future of this site, and so they decided to take matters into their own hands and, working together with your professionals and with your community, set this site on a course that would help shape Nutley's future. And so in March of 2014, the commissioners authorized a blight study for most of the Roche site on a condemnation basis. And this was important because by retaining the power of eminent domain, you retain the ability to control the destiny and future of this site, knowing that that may have sparked, as it did, some adversarialness with Roche at the time. The commissioners felt very strongly that the future of this property should be and remain in control of Nutley. On March 3rd of 2015, the commissioners declared the site as a condemnation area in need of redevelopment. And in April 2015, Roche filed a lawsuit challenging Nutley's blight declaration. But I will say that although they filed the lawsuit, as you all know, the lawsuit was never really litigated. It was held in abeyance pending the outcome of the sale to prison, whereupon it was dismissed. In 2016, the summer of 2016, the commissioners adopted a redevelopment plan for the medical school site on approximately 10.9 acres of the site. And the site, of course, is a little over 100 acres in total between Nutley and Clifton, with about 52 or so acres in Nutley and about the same in Clifton. So about almost 11 acres of the site was for the medical school. And this was important because, you know, Roche came to the table and expressed a willingness to work with the Board of Commissioners, participated in the visioning process, which you may recall resulted first in the Perkins-Eastman study that called under the best scenario, and to my recollection, it would take something like 15 years to potentially build it out. There were a number of different scenarios potentially for the site, but the idea of a medical school for the site was something that began to be discussed and took hold, and was something that the commissioners embraced and the community embraced as something that would be good for the site, because it would create the opportunity to realize a vision for the site of life sciences and development that would be related to that, that would help you not only replace a tax ratable, but would really elevate and again, help shape the future for Nutley. Between August and September of 2016, Nutley entered into a series of agreements and passed a series of resolutions with the medical school, which again was a joint venture, as we all know, between Hackensack and Seton Hall, which resulted in this, which was the first private medical school in New Jersey, a nonprofit at that, resulted in them agreeing to pay Nutley the equivalent of full taxation on the site. That was an extraordinary accomplishment. Here you have a nonprofit medical school. By utilizing the redevelopment tools at your disposal, we're able to get a concrete agreement, series of agreements, that results in this medical school paying full taxation on the site. We also know that in September of 2016 that PRISM acquired the property from Roche. We've been engaged in the planning process for the rest of the site. In August of this year, the commissioners approved the redevelopment plan for what we refer to as Phase 2A of the site, Phase 2A. And that is a plan basically for the remaining buildings on the site other than the medical school. As we all know, Roche had taken down a bunch of buildings. There were a few buildings remaining, and the redevelopment plan pertains to those sites. Building 1, which is now known as 100th Metro Boulevard. This building is a 15-story, about 255 or so thousand square foot building, which is being leased by Ralph Lauren, which has been announced. The redevelopment plan for Phase 2A also pertains to Building 76, which is now known as 200 Metro Boulevard, which is the other large 15-story building, which is a little over 300,000 square feet. With Building 102, which is the modern Meadow building, now known as 111 Ideation Way, which is a six-story building consisting of about 154,000 square feet. So the plan provides for various uses for these buildings to help facilitate tenants to go into these buildings and occupying those buildings so that the site can realize its potential. That redevelopment plan also created the opportunity for subdivisions and also designated PRISM as the redeveloper and resulted in the approval of a parking garage. But that parking garage will be used exclusively for 100 and 200 Metro Boulevard. And those actions, of course, were taken by the Planning Board under the leadership of the Planning Board Attorney, Mr. Cazera, and those members on the board. Currently, we're in the process of negotiating a redevelopment agreement for Phase 2A. That's ongoing. In the process of considering PRISM's tax abatement request for Phase 2A, and currently planning for the future development of the balance of the Roche, now prison, site. Some of the issues that are being considered are the various uses, making sure that those uses are linked to and consistent with the vision for the site just outlined. The density, how dense is going the site going to be? Bulk standards for buildings that will be built on the site. The effects of Clifton redevelopment on the site. The Clifton site was not occupied in large part prior to now with buildings, and there's a redevelopment effort going on there. How are those buildings, how is that redevelopment going to impact Nutley in the various ways? All efforts, all issues under consideration. Traffic, first with internal circulation on the site, making sure that works. There's off-site traffic considerations that have to be thoroughly reviewed and undoubtedly result in major traffic improvements that Nutley will likely require the redeveloper to perform. Economic impacts on the site. This is a very significant property in terms of the tax ratables that Nutley collects, and making sure that those ratables get back hopefully to once where they were or as close to that as possible, and understanding the impacts on services so that all the commissioners, I know that as these concepts and plans fully develop, will be reflecting on what impacts those plans might have on their departments so that Nutley can be compensated for services. There's infrastructure impacts on your water, your sewer. There's things that Nutley's trying to get from the community benefit from this project, I'm sure. There's an interconnect system to address water pressure and fire suppression issues. There's connectivity to Nutley's business district and utilizing this redevelopment process as a way to help foster improvements that will benefit Nutley's business district by creating connectivity that today does not exist. And also affordable housing and how this site could help satisfy Nutley's affordable housing obligations. These impacts are important because this site is transforming from a closed-off, owner-occupied campus to a multi-tenanted, potentially multi-owned campus that will not be gated off or closed off to the public, that will include the public. And so these are all of the issues that are being carefully and thoughtfully considered and deliberated so that decisions that are made going forward are ones that will be in Nutley's best interest. Which leads me to a summary of the settlement agreement that is on your agenda for consideration tonight. This settlement, if approved, will resolve Nutley's affordable housing obligation for the third round. There have been roughly 300, I think in excess of 300 of these cases that have been pending around the state, and over 230 of them have been settled. So by settling this case, you're certainly following suit with many of the municipalities in this state who have been through this this Mount Laurel litigation process. But first, a little bit of context so that the public understands what we're talking about by Mount Laurel, Mount Laurel doctrine, and affordable housing. There's a little bit of the history here, and I'll go through it as quickly as I can. But I do think it's important for folks to have some understanding of the history and context so that they can appreciate the action that's being taken tonight. Back in the early 1970s, there was a lawsuit. The Southern Burlington County NAACP challenged the zoning ordinance of Mount Laurel Township on the grounds that it excluded low and moderate income persons from obtaining housing. The idea was that towns could zone out people with lesser means and prevent them from living in those municipalities. And in this seminal decision, the New Jersey State Supreme Court held that the state constitution required that each municipality plan and provide by its land use regulations the reasonable opportunity for an appropriate variety and choice of housing, including low and moderate income housing, to meet the needs desires and resources of all categories of people who may desire to live within its borders. In order to satisfy this obligation, the court held that all municipalities, developing municipalities, must affirmatively provide a realistic opportunity for the construction of their fair share of the regional mean of low and moderate income housing. That is a constitutional requirement that is imposed on municipalities across the state like Nutley since 1975. Now, despite this ruling that came down from the New Jersey State Supreme Court, many municipalities didn't do anything, and the legislature didn't do anything legislatively by enacting laws to implement the Supreme Court's decision. So in 1983, there was a case that came down, it's known as Mount Laurel II, which introduces the builder's remedy. So in 1983, the Supreme Court upheld and affirmed its ruling in Mount Laurel I and created a mechanism to enforce its mandate called the builder's remedy. The builder's remedy entitles the developer to a court-ordered zoning designation, including density, setbacks, building heights, lot coverage, green area, etc. And the developer is, despite your zoning, what it means is the court can order multifamily housing and affordable housing in any zone in the town, irrespective of how the town seeks to zone this property. If it succeeds in the Mount Laurel litigation, meaning that the developer can show that the town has not satisfied its fair share requirement establishing Mount Laurel 1, and if it proposes a project with a substantial amount of affordable housing, which has meant 15% for rentals and 20% for for sale projects, of the total proposed units must be affordable to low and moderate income housing. And there is also a requirement that the property be suitable for multifamily housing development. And this was significant because in New Jersey, we're considered a home rule state. Zoning and planning is something that is done at the local level. But if the town is not compliant with its Mount Laurel requirement, that a developer can come in any zone, sue, and get a large-scale multifamily housing imposed on the town so long as it's 15 or 20% of the housing set aside for low and moderate income housing. So what this means basically is to one out of five units is affordable. The builder in many places will be able to proceed with this project again irrespective of the zoning. Well, Mount Laurel II sort of got everybody's attention. In response to that in 1985, the New Jersey legislature acted and passed what is called the Fair Housing Act. That act did a couple of things. Number one, it codified the Mount Laurel Doctrine. Number two, it established the Council on Affordable Housing known as COA. We always hear that acronym, COA. What does it mean? It means Council on Affordable Housing, and that is a state agency that was created under the Fair Housing Act in 1985. The Act also provides municipalities with a voluntary administrative process through which they can satisfy their Mount Laurel obligations in lieu of litigating exclusionary zoning lawsuits. So rather than waiting for a developer to come and sue you with a totally friendly lawsuit, the establishment of COA provided a voluntary mechanism whereby you could go to the state, you could go to COA with an affordable housing plan and get that plan approved, or you could file a declaratory judgment action. So municipalities, again, could elect to participate in COA's administrative process by adopting and filing housing element and fair share plan that addressed both what we refer to as present and prospective housing needs. Now, any town that could file housing element and fair share plan with COA could thereafter petition COA for something called substantive certification, which meant that basically COA approved your plan for a particular period of time, which is known as RACs. So what you have here is you have the developers who sort of have been sued of the developer's builder's remedy lawsuit, and municipalities were then given the shield of an administrative process whereby they could have their housing plan approved and be immune from builder's remedy. That's how it basically works. And once you have this granted your substantive certification to your plan, your land use ordinances were rendered presumptively valid for a period of 10 years. Now, the concept here was that COA granted these rounds. The concept was that COA would say to your municipality, here, town, is your obligation for the first round. And the first round was actually 1987 to 1993, and the second round was from 1993 until 1999. So COA would say, here's your obligation. You, town, have an obligation to, you could submit a plan that showed how you were going to fulfill that obligation through the zoning process. If the units weren't built, it wasn't your fault. All you could do as a town is provide the zoning, provide the ability for those units to be built. Now, this was not a very popular process. Municipalities and the public did not like the fact that unwanted court-mandated multifamily housing projects were being imposed on municipalities. But frankly, back then, the obligations, which were always significant, were not overwhelmingly significant, but they were unpopular nonetheless. Now, the second round was expiring in 1999. And for those of us who were around back then, we knew what happened in 1999 and then 2000. George W. Bush got elected President of the United States. Governor Christy Whitman resigned as governor and went to become a member of George Bush's cabinet. Don DeFrancesco became the acting governor. And then in 2001, Jim McGreevy, the former mayor of Woodbridge, was elected governor. So guess what didn't happen during that period of time? Third round rules were never adopted by COA, and that was left to Governor McGreevy. Now, Governor McGreevy was mayor of Woodbridge, which is a large suburban municipality, and he understood that this concept of imposing court-mandated housing on towns was not well received. But he had an obligation as governor to come up with a new set of rules. So he came up with a new concept called growth share. The concept of growth share was, you know, rather than the state imposing a number on the towns, instead, you would owe if you grew. The more you grow, the more you owe. That was the concept. So if you permitted commercial space to be built in your town, then for X number of square footage of commercial space, you had to provide Y number of affordable housing units. That was the concept, so that it wasn't as offensive to towns and the public. These rules were challenged by Fair Share Housing Center, by the builders groups, by a number of groups, and it was litigation that lasted from 1999, which really didn't get fully resolved until 2015. But guess what didn't happen during that period of time? Rules were never passed, obligations were never set before municipalities, and nothing much happened. On March 15th of 2015, the New Jersey State Supreme Court found that COA's administrative process had failed and that COA was a, quote, moribund agency. That's what the New Jersey State Supreme Court said about COA. This landmark decision did a number of things. Number one is a return determination of municipal compliance with the constitutional Mount Laurel obligations to the courts. So now, rather than, you know, having this process that towns could go to COA, which is COA wasn't there remember, jurisdiction for compliance was with the courts in the state of New Jersey. It directed the courts to use similar processes that would have been available before COA. Now, this is really a recipe for dysfunction, because administrative agencies have planners on staff, and they administrate. Courts don't administrate. Courts adjudicate disputes. Courts don't have planners on staff. Courts hear from experts. It afforded municipalities some protection from builders' remedy actions while the obligations of municipalities were determined. And it permitted developers to file builder remedy actions if a town was determined to be non-compliant. So in July of 2015, in accordance with this March ruling, over 300 municipalities including the Township of Nutley, filed declaratory judgment actions seeking judicial confirmation of their compliance with Mount Royal and also seeking protections from the Builder's Remedy lawsuits. And in fact, as you know, the court granted Nutley immunity from Builder's Remedy lawsuits while we were through this process of figuring out what Nutley's obligation was going to be. Again, approximately 230 towns have settled with Fair Share Housing and with developers. And so what happened during this process is everybody had experts. Again, because courts adjudicate disputes, and the way courts function is each side gets an expert, and the court makes the call on which expert controls. And so you have Fair Share Housing, who was advocating for more affordable housing units. They employed Dr. David Kinsey as their expert, and municipalities across the street or across the state hired a company called eConsult to be their expert. I will say that Nutley has had a long history of participating in COA's administrative process and also received first and second rounds of campus certification from COA. So now in the litigation, you have these two experts, Dr. Kinsey and eConsult. Dr. Kinsey had calculated Nutley's obligation to be about 500 affordable housing units. Now again, this covers the period between 1999 through 2015, which is called the gap period, and then from 2015 through 2025. So during that period of time, Dr. Kinsey said Nutley has an obligation for 500 affordable housing units. Now remember, that's only 20% of the total number of units that could be imposed upon Nutley. And that means that under Dr. Kinsey's methodology, Nutley could have been exposed to 2,500 multifamily housing units, of which 500 would be low and moderate income housing units. That was the exposure to Nutley. And again, when we're here in 2014 and 2015, and you see what's going on with the Roche-Last prison site at that time, it's these kinds of things that presented extraordinary challenges for the commissioner and commissioners, and I might add your professionals. So that was the exposure. Your consultant, eConsult, who consulted, who represented not only Nutley, but all municipalities that participated in the process in the state of Virginia. They calculated Nutley's obligation to be 164 units. Now, Nutley had about 30 credits from the previous round, so say it was 134 units or thereabouts, which still exposed Nutley to about 675 multifamily housing units, of which 134 thereabouts would be affordable units. So we were trying to figure out, you know, worst case scenario of 2,500 units, best case scenario of 675 total units is what we were working with. We were able to reach a settlement that surpassed anything that we had hoped to accomplish given the policy directive which we were following, which was to absolutely minimize any court-mandated multifamily housing on that. That was the clear policy direction that I received from the commission. And I think we accomplished that objective. Under the agreement reached with Fair Share Housing Center, Nutley's obligation will be to adopt a zoning or redevelopment plan on the prison site that would create the opportunity for 55 affordable family rental units, 55. That is lower than even your own expert's calculation. There is no obligation to zone for affordable housing in any other area in town. All of your affordable housing through 2025, which is the third round, and that's as far out as anybody could see at the moment, will be satisfied on the prison slash Roche property. There will be no mandatory set aside or overlay zoning requirement anywhere else in town, which is an extraordinary accomplishment, and we believe accomplishes the policy goals our commissioners gave to us. This settlement constitutes an 85% reduction from fair share's calculation and approximately a 50% reduction from your own experts' calculation. So again, if the policy objective here is, as I know it was, for us to minimize the requirement of the number of court-mandated multifamily units to be imposed on Nutley, then I feel very confident in representing to you that that goal was accomplished. At this time, I'd be happy to take any questions.
First, Mr. Inglesino, I want to compliment you for your representation of the board in this matter and all matters that you've been handling. And thank you for the update and the civic lesson on Mount Laurel and COA. I thought that was pretty good. And to get us to a point where we're at 55 units rather than 500 units that we were maybe obligated to.
Commissioners, any questions, comments?
Just that, John, I think you've done an outstanding job. This was unbelievable, the whole concept of the Council on Affordable Housing. You know what my opinion of that is. I don't have to go through it again. In some instances, it's similar to terrorism for small, developed suburban towns. But nonetheless, you've done an outstanding job, and I think this is a very fair settlement. Thank you.
Mr. Evans.
Yeah, John, just a point. I don't think anyone truly understands the number of hours of time and effort and negotiation that have gone into achieving this decision, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for hearing our mandate, which was to settle this, get us out of the mainstream on this, don't wait for others to come to some conclusion. Because, as we know, in all the other towns, it's still floating, and there's a lot of uncertainty around that. But more importantly, the aspect of this settlement, which basically does not obligate the town to have to consider COA in any other part of the town and any future development activities, and I think that's an extraordinary accomplishment, especially when you're aware of the fact that in the state of New Jersey, the shortage in housing, which is forecast, is not 10 or 15 units. It's over 170,000 housing units across the state. So that's an extraordinary accomplishment. So thank you for listening to us and for your exceptional work.
Commissioner Petrava.
Yes, thank you. I just want to point out one very important fact, John, and I think you didn't stress it enough, is that in the beginning of this, we could have had an additional 2,500 apartments in Nutley that would have been mandated, if it was through that 20%, like you said. So, I want to commend you on your hard work. To get it to 55 units, I think is, unbelievable, and I know it didn't come easy for you, and I know, what your work ethic is like and what you've done for the township of Nutley. Like Moro said, or the mayor, not just on this item, but everything going through Roche redevelopment, and I know we spent a lot of time together those first few years, and it was stressful. And just to see how the town is shaping up, I know we can't make everybody happy, but I think we're making the majority of the people happy of what's going on that Roche site, and with this co-obligation being at 55, it could have been a lot worse. So I just want to thank you for representing our town so well. Thank you.
Mr. Rogers.
John, Commissioner Petrocco was truly echoing in what I was thinking. 2,500 units would have devastated our school district. 2,500 units would have changed the character of this community forever. So it was an extraordinary challenge. You got it down to 55. The impact will be probably not even felt. thanks for saving the town. I appreciate it.
Thank you all for your kind words, but I do want to emphasize that, you know, the policy direction and the result was communicated very clearly by all of you to me several times. But the first time that I met with you, it became apparent that you all love this community, you understand what this community is, and that you want to make it better, and you all have a vision on how to do that. And all I was really trying to do was to help you implement your vision. So really, that credit, you know, belongs to you. I'm just here to help you in the best way that I can.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas.
And then, by the way, also a special here. The cast is very here,
Let's move to bills, Madam Clerk.
Yes, Mayor. Bill is for October 16, 2018. Public Affairs, $97,507.46. Revenue and Finance, $3,371,885.72. Public Safety, $271,218.16. Public Works, $452,562.13. Parks and Public Property, $80,979.73. Water Utility, $24,618.06. Total Payroll, $953,124.21, for a grand total of $5,251,895.47.
Move the bills.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner
Aye.
Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
That's it for bills, Mayor.
Public comment on agenda items only, Madam Clerk.
Yes, Mayor. All persons addressing the Board of Commissioners regarding community concerns should approach the microphone and provide their name and address for the record. Unless further time is granted by the Board, each person shall limit their address to 3 minutes. All remarks of the board and its individual members must be addressed to the mayor. The mayor may defer citizens' comments to the appropriate member of the board. Dialogue between citizens and others addressing the board shall be allowed unless the mayor or presiding officer or the majority of the membership of the board shall determine that the interests of the quorum and or the expeditious conduct of municipal business are being adversely affected by such dialogue.
Anybody wish to address the Board of Commissioners on agenda items only? Seeing none, let's move to Board of Commissioner announcements.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Mr. Hanning.
That's an agenda item, yes.
That's an agenda item, yes.
Congratulations on my total obligations. Great work by the council, I think. What is prison getting out of it? There's going to be 55 total units on their property. Is there expected to be any other residential units over there?
Well,
and if so, how many?
Well, we don't have that number at the present time.
But there will be.
More than likely.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to address the Board of Commissioners on agenda items only? Through me, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So my question was, the town is obligated to provide any further affordable housing outside of the Roche property. Is that correct?
Mr. Inglesino, correct me. There's no other further obligation besides those 55 units until 2025?
So my question is, are we allowed as a town to put them other places outside
It'll be, go ahead, Mr. Inglesino.
In the microphone.
It's important to fair share housing, and one of the reasons why the numbers are not covered.
Sorry.
It was important to fair share housing, that affordable housing, and to the special master, I might add, that affordable housing be placed on the Roche site and be part of the redevelopment there. And that is one of the ways in which we were able to effectively reduce the number even below that which your consultant, opined to. And so, you know, part of the deal is that those 55 units will be constructed on the former Roche property. And there is no, at the moment, there is no redevelopment plan beyond, you know, phase 2A. And while certainly the redeveloper has expressed an interest from the beginning to having some residential there, the 55 number was not tied to any agreed upon, you know, number of residential units from the current owner of the site. That's a separate negotiation.
So I'm guessing the previous question asked, I couldn't hear very well, was what percentage does that make up of the total new housing that would be going on?
There's no obligation on our part to have that be like 20% of the units built on the site.
Is that a percentage of the total that's
going to
be?
No, it's not. It could be.
But we don't know that.
Correct.
Okay, well, hold on. Mr. Inglesino, correct me if I'm wrong, but right now our only obligation is the 55 units on that site.
That's correct. Your only obligation, right, which is an obligation as part of the settlement agreement, it's not an obligation to prison. Your right. only obligation under this agreement is to plan for, which is, would mean either to zone or to enact a redevelopment plan, which is the functional equivalent of permitting 55 affordable housing units on this site.
On that site.
And that is not part and was not negotiated with the developer of prison. That is an obligation that the municipality is determining to place on prison and whatever prison seeks to negotiate going forward, it certainly is free to do. But it's not linked to the settlement agreement that is being acted on tonight.
Is that public housing? Is that housing that the municipality has to put there, or is that private housing that developers would be installing?
So it's not public housing. I threw a lot of information at you, and I had to actually really try to think through how much information was too much. But even for me at times, but the municipality's obligation is to provide a realistic opportunity for the affordable housing to be built, which generally means that the obligation for the town is to zone for it to be built. The town has no obligation to build it. The housing will not be public housing that you might think of, you know, a town or a housing agency building, you know. It's not that way. It is to provide a reasonable opportunity for the housing to be built. And typically, you know, these are built, you know, by developers, and they have to follow the requirements that are set forth in the COA regulations. Because although COA was disbanded, and this is where we really get to the AP class on COA, there are certain regulations of COA that have survived and that govern affordable housing going forward.
Anybody else wish to address the Board of Commissioners on agenda items only? Seeing none, let's move to Commissioner announcements. Commissioners, any announcements?
I actually have one today. I just like to say that I was invited to the Nutley Lacrosse team's annual fishing trip. And I have to tell you, I never caught so many porgies in my life. I never baited so many hooks for kids in my life. But I have to tell you, it was an excellent trip. And, you know, everybody that ran it, from the coaches, and there was a lot of Nutley people there. It really is the spirit of Nutley, you know, what we do here. And how people get involved and how people come out. It was a bunch of fresh new faces for me, not having, you know, my son in lacrosse, my youngest one anyway. You know, there's a whole new people here, you know, that are moving from other towns, and it was just really nice to shake their hands, and they have actually had a lot of good things to say about the town, which was refreshing as well. So here's to Nutley Lacrosse.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right. Commissioner Petracco.
Yes. Before I introduce this ordinance for introduction, this is our parking ordinance. So I just like I asked the chief to come up and to say a few words of what he's been dealing with at the police department the last couple of years with things that affect this ordinance.
Any questions, commissioners?
No. Chief, I'm going to take this opportunity. I want to thank you and the police department for the extraordinary work that you've been doing. I've been reading a lot about some of these burglaries, these car burglaries, but I'll tell you what, Commissioner, when you read the end of the story and that the Nutley police apprehended these thugs, I've got to tell you, it makes you feel safe. Commissioner, thank you. But Chief, thank you.
Appreciate the support. Thanks.
Thank
again.
You. Commissioner?
Okay. This is ordinance number 3400, an ordinance to amend the ordinance codified in the code of the Township of Nutley, Chapter 228, entitled Vehicles and Traffic, particularly Article 2, Parking on Certain Streets, Section 11, entitled Parking Time Limited, and Section 32, entitled Parking Permit. Let's see. I don't have my little saying in here.
Got one?
Thank you, Commissioner Rogers. I move that this ordinance be passed to its second reading and advertising in the Nutley Sun together with the notice required by law, and that further consideration of said ordinance for final passage by the Board of Commissioners be held at its second reading. I believe it's November.
November 20th.
What is it?
November 20th.
November 20th, 2018. I move the words.
I second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Let's move to public hearings. Commissioner Petracco.
Okay, this is on the LOSAP ordinance number 3398, ordinance to amend an ordinance codified in the code of the Township of Nutley, Chapter 96, entitled Length of Service Awards. I move that we open the public portion of the meeting.
Second. Anybody like to be heard on ordinance number 3398? Seeing none,
I move to close.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Just before I vote, I just like to thank everyone that had something to do with this ordinance. I know Sam Carell's here, Fire Chief Nicoletti, or Deputy Chief Paul Caffone, all the members of the volunteers. This has been a work probably in process since since I've got on this board with all these volunteers. So I just want to thank the Board of Commissioners and the Mayor for your support. I'd like to thank all the volunteers for their patience, and I really think that it's been a long time coming. So I vote aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye. I know we had scheduled the public hearing on the density ordinance.
Oh, we have the ordinance.
Sorry.
I thought I did. I'm sorry. I
closed the public hearing.
And did that? I moved the ordinance.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
I just made a comment. On introduction, I incorrectly voted no. I just wanted to say I wholeheartedly vote yes on this ordinance.
Commissioner Petracco.
I didn't know, Commissioner Evans, what this meant. Now I do. That means move the ordinance. Okay. Gotcha. I vote aye.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye. I'll go back to what I was saying. A long-awaited density ordinance we had scheduled for a public hearing tonight. The commissioners are still working through the details of the ordinance with a lot more questions that have come up over the last 2 weeks. We're going to ask all the commissioners to filter their comments through Mr. Genitempo, and then we're going to have our two planners come in and help us work through so we can finally get this ordinance passed and put some teeth in our density on mixed use. So we're just moving forward on that, and it's a longer process than anybody anticipated. Let's move to resolutions. Commissioner Rogers.
Yeah, I have a resolution before I present it. It deals with polio. Normally I don't read resolutions, but I'm going to read this one. I remember as a kid growing up in Brooklyn, we had a relative who used to limp around, and I remember asking my mother, what happened to his name? He was Junior. He was a cousin. And I remember my mother telling me that he was afflicted with polio before there was enough vaccinations that came out. And, you know, I listen, as you do, to the news, and we just, you know, are inundated with so many things in life, but, you know, what really counts our health and the fact that we are in a position, whether we're in government or private industry, to do something about it. And I'm going to read something to you tonight where you're going to hear some extraordinary developments regarding polio. Whereas polio mainly affects children under the age of five. Can you imagine that? Under the age of five. And whereas there is no cure for polio, but it is preventable with a vaccine. And whereas polio cases have dropped by 99.9%. since 1988, and the world stands on the threshold of eradicating this disease. And boy, would it be great to see that eradicated in our lifetime. And whereas if polio is not eradicated within 10 years, as many as 200,000 children could be paralyzed by it each year. A polio-free world will be a safer world for children everywhere. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Commissioners in the Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, recognize October 24th, 2018 as World Polio Day. Now here's the neat part of this. And commends the global network of the Rotary organization, including the Nutley Rotary Club. Commissioner Petracco, you talked about some of the extraordinary things our township does. Well, boy, I'll tell you, if you ever want to see a club, and all of them are great clubs, but I know the Rotary Club is really outstanding. The Nutley Rotary Club and their efforts to build awareness, fundraise, and encourage governments to donate to and support polio eradication efforts around the world. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye. Commissioner Tucci.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Whereas the Township of Nutley has a need to acquire specialized professional services as a fair and open contract pursuant to the provisions of NJSA 19:44820-5, and whereas the RFQs for Township Forester were received and opened on Wednesday, October 8, 2018, whereas the most responsible and responsive request for qualifications was from the Shade Tree Department, LLC, John Linson, P.O. Box, 6089 West Orange, New Jersey, and whereas the Shade Tree Department, LLC, has provided these services in the past to the Township of Nutley and is particularly suited to provide continued services, and whereas the term of this contract is for a one-year period commencing on October 1, 2018 and continued through September 31, 2019, and whereas the contract is not to exceed $22,000 and funds are available from account 8-01-512-200 in the amount of $5,505 and account 9-01-512-200 in the amount of $16,495. Funds have been certified by the Chief Financial Officer, said certification being attached to this resolution. now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that a contract be awarded to the Shade Tree Department LLC, John Linson, as described herein, and that the response to the request for qualification be placed on file with this resolution, and a notice of this action shall be printed once in the Nutley Sun in accordance with local public contracts law. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Thank you, Mayor.
Commissioner Evans.
Thank you. Whereas the Code Enforcement Department received a zoning permit fee in the amount of $75 from Sheldon and Glory Needham for the property located at 197 Van Winkle Avenue, whereas Sheldon and Glory are not moving forward with the sale of their home, whereas the zoning official has determined that the fee of $75 shall be refunded. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that the Township Treasurer is authorized to refund the zoning permit fee in the amount of $75. So move.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that the Treasurer be and she is hereby authorized to refund overpayments of water charges in the amount of $3,772.58 for block 9302, lot 10. So move.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Thank you.
Commissioner Petracco.
Yes, this is ordinance number 232-18. This is to save a little time. I'll read it by number. This is for bulletproof vest. This is in the budget insertion of $5,284. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that Anthony Verino, an employee in the Department of Public Safety, be granted a medical leave of absence without pay effective September 15th through December 5th, 2018. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
So I have.
Whereas bids for Narron Place roadway improvement project were received and opened on Wednesday, September 26, 2018. Whereas AJM Contractors 300 Color Road, Clifton, New Jersey, was a low bidder. Whereas the base bid for Narron Place roadway improvement project is in the amount of $143,811 for a total bid amount of $143,811. And whereas funds are available from account number G04104401, ordinance number 3345A, in the amount of $143,811, and have been certified by the Chief Financial Officer, said certification being attached to this resolution. Now, therefore, it resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that a contract be awarded to HAM Contractors not to exceed $143,811, and that the Mayor and Township Clerk are hereby authorized to enter into and sign said contract for the Township of Nutley. Move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye. Whereas raffle applications have proceeded from the following organizations: Rotary Club of Nutley, license number 3518, off-premise merchandise raffle, to be held Saturday, December 1st, 2018. HSA Fairview of Bloomfield, license number 3618, on-premise merchandise raffle, and license number 3718, on-premise 50-50. Cash raffle to be held November 30th, 2018. Good Shepherd Academy, license number 3818, on-premise merchandise raffle, and license number 3918, on-premise 50-50 cash raffle to be held on Sunday, November 18th, 2018. Whereas the applications have been reviewed and approved by the municipal clerk and the police department, now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that the aforementioned licenses are approved, and a municipal clerk is hereby authorized to issue the raffle license. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye. This is resolution 238-18. I'm going to shorten this a little bit. Whereas over the past decade, the New Jersey Council on Affordable Housing has failed to adopt constitutionally compliant third-round rules that have withstood the judicial scrutiny. And whereas the parties have agreed to enter into a written settlement agreement to memorialize the terms and conditions of settlement, as well as the respective obligations of the parties, Whereas the Board of Commissioners finds that it is prudent to enter into a settlement agreement with FSHC to avoid the time and expense of the continued litigation, now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that one, the aforesaid recitals are hereby adopted and incorporated herein as if repeated in full, and whereas the mayor is hereby authorized to execute, and the township clerk being is hereby authorized to witness and a settlement agreement resolving the township's DJ action in a form and content acceptable to counsel for the township, and that the township administration, planner, and counsel for the township being are hereby authorized to undertake all reasonable and necessary steps to effectuate the foregoing, and that this resolution takes effect immediately. I move the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Before I vote, I'm going to expand a little bit of what Commissioner Tucci said regarding Coach. Since the 1970s, our township and municipalities across the state have been victimized by judicial overreach. It is sickening to me that the courts have the power to determine the destiny of any community in this state. And I've looked into this for quite some time, and I've been told there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. I'm sure if it was up to our municipality as well as others, we would just say, hey, you know, we'll determine what is right for our community. I hope down the road some of the citizens here, and maybe some of them listening, will take some action with regard to our state legislature that puts heavy burdens on municipalities like ours. Judicial overreach, folks, is not good for anybody. But saying that, I'm glad that we had a board of commissioners and an attorney and our town attorney, Mr. Gentempo, who were really on top of this and minimized the real negative impact that this could have had on us. But I would just hope you remember those two words, judicial overreach. This is not the end. This is going to go on and on for a long time. But I vote yes.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye. That concludes the business portion of our meeting. Madam Clerk?
Yes, Mayor. All persons addressing the Board of Commissioners regarding community concerns should approach the microphone and provide their name and address for the record. Unless further time is granted by the Board, each person should limit their address to 5 minutes. All remarks to the Board and its individual members must be addressed to the Mayor. The Mayor may defer citizens' comments to the appropriate member of the Board. Dialogue between citizens and others addressing the Board shall be allowed unless the Mayor or presiding officer or the majority of the membership of the Board shall determine that the interests of the quorum and or the expeditious conduct of municipal business are being adversely affected by such dialogue.
Anybody wish to address the Board of Commissioners this evening?
Yes. Tammy Rossi, 28 Colonial Terrace. Good evening. As one of the founders for the Nutley Coalition for Change, I just want to inform you we continue to receive signatures for the petition for term limits on the quasi-judicial boards, including Planning Board, Zoning Board, Rent Leveling Board, and Library Board. I know I've been asking each of you where your stance is on term limits for these boards, and I just want to remind you campaign season is around the corner, and the citizens of Nutley are watching for each of your responses. So I'd like to revisit this one more time tonight and ask each of you where your stance is on term limits for these boards, starting with Commissioner Rogers.
Ms. Rossi, we're going to have you can make your public comment, and then the commissioners will respond to you at a later time. Okay?
So okay.
Continue your comments.
Okay. Well, then my next question would be, Mayor Scarpelli, at the last meeting you said you would be open to receiving applicants to fill the opening positions. So from what I can see, the Planning Board has 4 positions opening up in December. The Library Board has 1. The Rent Leveling Board has 2 positions, the Shade Tree Commission has 6, and the Board of Adjustments have 5 positions. So Mayor Scarpelli, will you announce these positions on each of these boards on the Nutley Town email notification system as well as a town cable channel?
Continue, Ms. Rossi.
Okay, and then my last question is for Mr. Genitempo. What is the status of the employee handbook, and will there be an anti-nepotism policy included in the employee handbook?
Thank you, Mr. Rossi. Anybody else wish to address the Board of Commissioners this evening?
Neil Henning, 31 Terrace Avenue. Besides the Saul Upholstery, are there any other tenants in the Davis building at this time?
Excuse me, Mr. Henning, can you speak into the microphone?
Besides the Saul Upholstery, are there any other tenants in the Davis building at this time?
Continue, Mr. Henning.
If so, what is the rent? Has the town tried to rent any portion of that building? And what are the plans for that building now? So we're just going to run through all the questions and then after, fine.
Correct.
Has Ciccolini property been subdivided yet? Now we are 2 years owning that property. My understanding is that we were going to subdivide it and sell it off. What is the plan for that property now? Can you tell me if each of the commissioners is endorsing this school referendum in November? I'd like to hear from each one if they are endorsing it and throwing their full weight behind getting that passed. And are there heavy commercial vehicles allowed to be use municipal parking, rent, basically rent municipal parking on a monthly basis? And if so, what is the process for that, and what is the rent? And lastly, I'd like to know if there's any ongoing FBI investigations currently being done on any of the municipal government agencies in town. Thank you.
Anybody else wish to address the Board of Commissioners this evening? Seeing none, could I have a motion to close public comment?
I make that motion.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Evans. Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioners, wish to address any of the comments this evening?
I'll address the one on the Davis building. The only tenant left in the Davis building is Saul's, the upholstering company there. And you asked about our plans moving forward. As I'm sure you're aware, Neil, we originally purchased that building on behalf of the Board of Education in light of the referendum and the needed expansion in the middle school. And it is our intention, and I think Commissioner wants to correct me, to sell that property to the Board of Education so that if and when they pass a referendum that is acceptable to the citizens of the township, that they'll have the property available to expand.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anybody else wish to address any of the comments made tonight?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, since I was asked a question, I'll answer it about term limits. Look, it's public knowledge. I am fully in favor of term limits for boards. Ms. Rossi, since the last meeting, I did some research. And to my surprise, there are many, many, many municipalities across this country that have passed resolutions that would impose term limits on volunteer boards. And the preamble to most of these resolutions was to increase participation, to increase public engagement. I think it's a healthy thing. So here's what I'm doing. I'm putting together some framework for a resolution with the idea of addressing some of the concerns that my colleagues had, and their legitimate concerns about people who have been on boards and who have a lot of corporate knowledge over a period of time, but also in the event that there are not people stepping up to volunteer. It's a good safety gap to make sure that the boards are continuing their work seamlessly. But I'm putting together a framework, and I'm going to sit down with each of my commissioners and discuss it. But I will, without any doubt, the second meeting of November introduce that resolution.
But I would ask, and I think this is important, that whether there's yay or nays, that everyone's opinion is respected. Just because I'm for it, it may mean that another commissioner is not for it for very legitimate reasons. But this is what democracy is about, to have a civil, constructive discussion publicly about very critical issues like this. So my answer directly is yes, I gave you a timetable. I'm committed to that. Look, this is nothing new. I've been all over the darn country on every TV station talking about this issue. Well, I think I'm obligated to at least address it here at home. Thank you.
Commissioner? Thank you. As far as the term limits, you know, I've been looking into to that, and I've had many conversations with Commissioner Rogers about it also. I just want to reflect back to when I was the mayor. I can remember I was in a really difficult situation. You know, there was someone I went to Nutley High School with, and their father was on the one of the boards. And he was getting older and not as interested in it as I thought at the time, but a great guy, great family, all that stuff. And it was very difficult for me to make that phone call to him and let him know that I wasn't going to reappoint him again. And, you know, to my surprise, the guy thanked me. And he came to the commission meeting and thanked me, too, because he really did have enough. And his son called me and thanked me, and I was shocked, you know. And it was kind of like a phone call where he said to me, I never thought you were going to ask for me to go. And he did have enough. So I think that I'll wait for the resolution, Steve, you know, for you to present us with the resolution, and I'll review that. But I am leaning towards, you know, that there should be something in place, that, you know, people do get tired of it. They're not as fresh as they were. And it's very difficult for, you know, a mayor, you know, when I was sitting in that seat, I actually took people off the boards too, or didn't take, I never took anybody off, but I did not reappoint some people. And it's a very tough situation to be in as the mayor, and I have to tell you, that's one of the situations I don't miss at all, you know, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think that in the future, I think, Tammy, the world is changing, and I think that, you know, Nutley has to change a little bit as well. Thank you.
Mayor, can I also comment on that? Tammy, you, when you asked this question last time, you know I was torn about this, all right, because there's some folks, as some of the others already said, who've gotten tired and maybe not as interested, but still care about the town and love the town, all right? And there are those that are up and coming that want to get involved and want to participate. Well, I do need to tell you that after having several conversations with Commissioner Rogers about the broad framework of what he's proposing, I am absolutely open to the idea. It's not a commitment yet, but I am absolutely open to listening and to seeing exactly how that shakes out. And let's all just keep in mind that it's not like we have thousands of people beating down the doors to serve on some of these boards. This takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. Thank you.
In regards to the appointments, I welcome anybody's resume. I actually got one this past week. So I welcome anybody's resume that's willing to serve on any of the boards. As people's appointments come up, we'll consider them in their service. And I think as the appointing authority, that's your decision to be made. If someone is getting fired, they need to be replaced, that's fine. You have to make that decision. That's what the appointing authority is there for. And any new people that are out there want to serve, we certainly welcome their resumes to be considered.
Mayor, the only other comment that I will add is that, Tammy, and as you heard me say last time, I truly believe that people who serve on these boards, by and large, are very dedicated. Right? You saw us tonight honoring Barry Kazira for his service. And when you think about his role and what he does and the passion that he brings to that board each time, and the colleagues that I sit with, right, there's much that I think that's valuable about the process. I think we need to actually learn more about the selection process, what that would be. I agree that the measure should be one's willingness to commit to do the job the way the job is meant to be done. And so when you think about the corporate capital, the training that they have to go through, just the experience that you have to go through, and getting used to the idea that on these boards, the zoning board especially and the board, planning board, that they're quasi-judicial boards. You sit there as a judge. You have to listen to testimony, not the emotion of what you think, not the emotion of what you think other people think you should do, but to sit there with the strength and the fortitude to listen to objective testimony and what's in front of you. And then to propose, it says, look, if we're approving something we don't like, make recommendations to understand how, for example, our rules should evolve because things are changing. So I'm very interested. I didn't know about Commissioner Rogers' position of putting together a resolution. I'm very interested, Steve, in learning more about that.
Nobody knew except until tonight. So I hear you.
Just that idea. And the other thing is that I've watched the mayor, present mayor's struggle and the former mayor struggle to search for qualified candidates, people with a desire. So one of the aspects that you have talked about is there a process that could be in place that if people are interested, they can submit an application and that they can go be screened? To me, that would be a huge step forward. So if we were just able to accomplish two things, make sure that the people who are serving are passionate about doing their job to the best that they can do, and two, have a ready list of candidates that are available and willing to do that and are willing to make the commitment, the true commitment, you know, that would be a giant step forward in and of itself. But I will reserve to see what Commissioner Rogers crafts.
Anybody else want to address anything else tonight?
Thanks, Mayor.
The heavy equipment on township-owned parking lots. The only heavy, Mr. Henning, the only heavy equipment that is being rented currently is on the Ciccolini property because they were there previous, and we honored the commitment that Mr. Ciccolini made to them. Other than that, there's no other heavy equipment, and I believe they're paying $100 a month. Mr. Gentile, do you want to comment if there's any FBI investigation into any of the departments in Township of Nutley?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. As far as I am aware, there are no FBI investigations involving any aspects of the township. I believe I would be made aware, but I am not aware of any such investigations.
And the how about on the subdivision of Ciccolini?
Yes, Mayor, one of the reasons why that hasn't been addressed is because we needed to know what our COA obligation might be and where we would have to resolve it. Now that that's getting cleared up, I anticipate that we can move forward as soon as that is approved and start to take action with regard to Ciccolini's.
Any other comments, commissioners?
Mayor, just one comment in response to Tammy's question. I wish I could say that I have it done, but I don't. I'm working on it. It's right here. It's this thick. I'm really working at it, but it's just taking me more time. The commissioners will determine if there's going to be a nepotism policy, but there is currently going to be one, some type of form of one. I don't know what it's going to finally look like, but they have to make that determination.
Mayor, just as a point of reference, and Alan, correct me if I'm wrong, but concerning any nepotism policies and or ethics policies that are not addressed presently, I believe we revert to what, the state policies?
Yes, we are always subject to the state policies on that.
So it's not that we're without policies,
right.
It's just that we may be sharing the state's policy.
And as to the ethics, the handbook will basically say we are subject to the state ethics policy for the most part.
Great, thank you.
If nothing else, commissioners, look for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Rogers?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Scarpelli?
Aye.
And the time is 9:18.
Good night, everybody.